So it's 8 o'clock. Kathy, you're on, sounds like. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Phil, you're on?
Yes.
I'm obviously on. And do we have any other board members out there?
Brad, huh?
Brad? Okay. So with four of us on, we have a quorum. Let's go ahead and get started, and hopefully others will join us. I know Larry was in and out of service when I was texting him earlier today, so I don't know whether he's in service or out, and John told me he was not going to be in service, so we will proceed. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything from Joe.
I just talked to Larry, and he said he didn't think he was going to make it.
Okay. All right, well, let's proceed. I don't have the agenda pulled up in front of me, so Mariah, if you wouldn't mind, I assume you've got the documents pulled up and you can kind of guide us through the agenda since we're not where we can share the paperwork.
Sure, that sounds great. So did you want to open with a prayer then?
Sure, I'll offer that and we'll get going. Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we thank you this day for the opportunity to meet together. We pray that we might make wise decisions related to the ranch and especially related to cabin fees and radios and other things that we're going to discuss tonight. We pray that we might be brief and helpful and supportive to one another. These things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
I
don't know if you can hear us. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that you, Rachel?
Yeah, it's me and Phil are here.
Okay. Well, we're going to proceed. Mariah's going to guide us through the agenda. I think there's just really two or three items we need to address, and hopefully we can get through those fairly quickly. So go ahead, Mariah.
Probably should roll call
first. Yeah, make sure we know who's visiting with us.
Okay. I'm Barry. I'm here.
This is Joe here.
Joe's here.
Phil's
here. Do we have any members here?
Yeah, Vance is on.
Yeah, I'm a member on Byron. On 82.
Hi, Amanda Simmons, 91.
Anyone else? Mariah, were you able to get all those? There's some that are a little muddled on my end.
I think so. If it's okay, do you mind if I repeat back who I have?
Nope, I think that's a good idea. Go ahead.
Okay, I have Kathy Pierce, Phil Hall, Gary Clarkson, Brad Hunt. I also have Rachel and Phil Hunt, myself, Joe Bose, Vance Green, Byron Schimp, and I'm sorry, Lot 91, I didn't catch your name. That was a little muffled. I can look it up. I just didn't catch it right off.
Amanda Simmons.
Thank you. Okay. That's all I have. So is there anyone else I missed, please?
I think that's got, so I assume on your agenda the next order of business is approving the meeting minutes from the last meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review those and look them over?
I reviewed them and I felt like everything was good. There was a couple of typo errors, but other than that, everything was good.
I read through them as well today and I didn't see anything that substantively needed to change. So go ahead.
This is Phil. In 3.1, I'll just read the sentence. An accounting of the bank accounts is given as of today's date, $1,115.12 in caretaker checking account, comma, and then it has the figure $125,203. It's kind of that. I think I know what was being said there, but... in the general account, it's $125,203, I suppose. That's what that means. Is that right?
Oh, yes. I can see that. I'm looking at the minutes right now. I can see, yes. I put the $1,100 in the caretaker's checking account, and then I didn't clarify that the $125 is in the main checking account. So I will make an adjustment right now.
Okay. And then 510 of, let's see, 5, I guess it's 5.1. Let me see. No, it's 5.10. It says, it's talking about me. The very last sentence in 5.10. It says, Philhall wondered if Rachel and Phil still have a lamb and if they wanted to have it bred. As discussion took place, anyway, it doesn't say what the outcome was, and the outcome was, yes, they still wanted it bred, and they brought it to my place. So it just says there was a discussion, but nothing was noted as to what was the outcome.
Okay. I can make an adjustment to that right now, too, and say the outcome was they still wanted it bred, and it was taken to Phil Hall's place, and
okay, and then I know that's kind of trivial, but here's the next one. 7.1.7. It's a big long paragraph. Let's see. Let's find it again. Okay, about three-fourths of the way down through that big, long paragraph, it says, Phil Hall asked if the master plan would be a comprehensive lot plan. I don't think I was talking about lots. I think I was talking about the different things where they had outlined where they wanted to spend their money. But I can't remember for sure.
Oh yeah, I don't have any way to know that either unless I go back and review the minutes. Is that something you'd like me to do to verify?
Because we decided that the membership wasn't in favor of it, and it was, I think, voted upon to take it out of the minutes or a minute. And so I don't think it's pertaining to extra lots. I think it's a comprehensive spending plan, perhaps, I might suggest, if that makes sense.
Well, I think this is Barry, if I remember correctly, and this is just my memory, what we were discussing right there was the use plan that was on Dad's list of things that he wanted to have done, and that didn't have anything to do with new lots. It was just identifying, you know, what uses different areas in the common area were dedicated to or for, you know, fish ponds or where things can happen, those kind of things. So it had nothing to do with lots. It's just use on the use on the common area.
So we could take out lot, and then it'd be okay. Comprehensive plan.
Yeah, or substitute the word lot with use, because that's what he's really after, is identifying the uses in different areas in the common different parts of the common areas.
And then over the top of that paragraph, about another fourth of the way down, it has one sentence that Phil Hall questioned who will do the maintaining and testing. And then another sentence, Phil Hall was concerned it is too much fuzzy area. It's kind of an odd sentence. I was trying to say it wasn't clear enough as to the testing of that water of that spring. So I don't know. Phil Hall was concerned that it is too much fuzzy area. This isn't.
That's a little awkward. How about Phil Hall felt the testing of the spring was the testing procedures of the spring were unclear.
Unclear or needed clarification. Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, unclear.
Okay, that's all I have. Thanks for bearing with me.
No problem. Any other changes or any other questions related to the meeting minutes from last meeting? Okay, if there aren't any, then I'll call for a motion to approve the meeting minutes as with the changes we've discussed right now with Mariah.
I'll make such a motion. So,
I'll second it.
All in favor, we'll have to do the votes by roll call. Barry votes aye.
Brad abstains. I wasn't able to hear the whole meeting. I had to go into the temple of session with my daughter.
Phil votes aye.
Joe votes aye.
At least Kathy. Kathy, you vote up or down?
I second it.
Well, after you second it, you got to vote in favor or against
okay.
it.
Okay. Aye.
Okay. Perfect. That passes. What's next on your written agenda, Mariah?
Discussion of update of the DSROA rules and regulations. That would be specifically in regard to the cabin fees.
And I don't know. I know I've had some interaction and discussion with Brad and also with Mariah, and several board members have put in their thoughts as far as pet fees and those kind of things. I'll basically just open the floor to anybody that wants to discuss where we're at before we try to make a motion and call for a vote either for or against or modifying the rule changes as have been passed around.
Barry, this is Phil.
Yeah.
Did we not over emails, I think most of us agreed, I don't know how many, but the general sense was that the pet thing would be a fee whether you had one or two pets. Am I wrong on that?
I think that's the general sense I got was that everybody, including John, I'm not sure I heard from Larry on it, but that was the general consensus was that we wanted to modify the pet fee from $25 per pet to $25 for pets and leave it that way for now unless there are problems, and then we'll address it in the future.
So unless there's a lot of discussion on that part of the motion, I would move so that so be that there only be a $25 assessment whether you have one pet, two pets, or three pets.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it. Brad?
Okay, let's it's been moved and seconded. I vote aye. This is Barry. I vote aye. Yes.
Yes for Brad.
Yes for Kathy.
Yes for Phil.
Yes for Joe.
Perfect. Now, are there other parts that are still causing trouble? I mean, I don't want to create more discussion or more problems than there are. I know that different people feel differently about, you know, where things ended up with the rule change, but I think it was basically encapsulating what the discussions were and the input of the members in the last meeting and Mariah's attempt and then my attempt to fix some of those things to make them so that they're readable. Are there concerns out there as to any of the other changes to the rules that we need to discuss?
I still have the same concerns that I had before. If you're just going to keep the original document without making any of those changes that we discussed through emails, I didn't hear from a lot of other members or board members as we went back and forth to do anything. So I just assumed that you were trying to keep the very same document without making those other adjustments.
The document we had there, you suggested I think 10 or 12 changes. And I was in agreement that five or six of those could be changed, but we really need to kind of go through those independently if there's an issue there as far as those things. I mean, some of the things were easy to change, like and I don't have it here in front of me, but a lot of those issues were taking out all the old language as far as members and non-members. For example, just so everybody knows, there was a section and a portion that related to, you know, what the non-members do or don't have to do, and I basically discussed with Mariah, since non-members are not bound by the rules and regulations. We're talking about when the ranch leases directly to a third party, not somebody that comes in as a guest of the member. They're not bound by those anyway, so we discussed and decided we need to have a rental agreement that those people sign, which contain the rules and regulations or the parts that apply. So I agreed with you there, and we went ahead and took out everything related to renting cabins time to non-members, and we'll deal with that in a separate document, since they don't have to abide by the rules and regulations. You know, they're not bound by the rules and regulations anyway. Some of the other clarifications, I tried to respond in your email, in my email to you, that the ones that I felt that were fine. There were others that I, based on where we were at, that I felt like, in my opinion, didn't need to be changed. And so the document we have right now includes some of those changes, but not all of the changes that you suggested. I don't know if there are specific changes you want to discuss or that really concern you, or if we move forward.
Are we talking about ratifying a new set of rules and regs right now? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
And so did, for example, did that one specific change where we threw out the non-board member or non-member language out of that and then addressed the places where it called for reservation fees?
Yes, everything related to non-member rentals is taken out, and everything related to, I don't think the word reservation fee shows up anywhere in there anymore. You correct me if I'm wrong, Mariah. You and I have gone back and forth on that a few times.
I haven't looked through it recently, but I know those are two that when we go through and clean up the final draft, I think that, yeah, we'll make sure that those two are not included.
I mean, there was one place that I remember it said reservation fee that we needed to change, because now we're using the term nightly cabin use fee. And so that, you know, that was one of the changes that was suggested that has been made. I know because I made it. So.
And we had quite a conversation about the different proposals and how much would be charged. And I think at the time I made a resolution or that we accept that particular draft of the charges for cabin usage.
Yeah, I think as far as the rates are concerned, those we voted on in the last meeting and have discussed quite a bit. I don't know if that needs to be discussed again, but that's pretty much, in my opinion, been decided to go with, based on member feedback, to go with this and move forward as far as what the rates are.
I know. Yes, I think that's right. It's been decided. We voted on it.
But once you're changing any of the rules and regs, then all of them are up for a yay or nay vote again. So this is the time that we can voice concern, because I was gone by the time that conversation went on. So I want to go on the record that I would be opposed to the higher fee, and I would agree to go ahead and try the lesser fee.
But I think we voted on that. I think you missed the meeting before, too. But anyway, we've already voted on that portion.
That's what I'm saying.
You can raise the question about another portion, but
well,
that portion's already been.
At the end of the day, when we vote on these, then it's completely in with, you know, Brad, if you want to voice your opinion that the fees aren't correct, then I assume you'll vote against the passage of the rules, and that's certainly your prerogative. But there has been quite a bit of discussion on which fee scale to adopt. And so are there other concerns other than the rate that we're going to charge, as far as other changes or problems with the rules as we've sent out and shared with everybody.
Did you change an age requirement for occupancy?
Yes. Changed from 3 to 5, I think was your suggestion, was change it from 3 to 5, and we did that.
And did you change the paragraph that where members are supposed to do an inspection before they get their cabin keys?
Do you remember? Can you tell me which section that was?
I believe, I'll just interject this thought, I believe that was actually more in reference to the non-members than members, so I think it's been removed. But I'm looking in your email, Brad, to see if I can find it really quick.
I see the pet fee, it's right before the pet fee, which is 1.105, and I can't see the page that begins that paragraph, but it references that the members are responsible to get an inspection form and fill it out to see if there's any damages in the cabins before they get cabin keys, which would be impossible.
That was on the second page above 1.01.05, two paragraphs up, at time of check-in, second page.
Okay, I found that, and that still says that, Brad, so and it would make sense to change that. Obviously, they can't inspect the cabin in order to get the keys. So I would agree that should be changed so that they get an inspection form as part of the check-in, just like when you rent a car, you basically get an inspection sheet at that time, and that they turn it back in a timely manner. So I would agree that should be changed. It doesn't make sense the way it's written, and that was, I think, basically pulled in from the last set or the original set of rules. But I haven't gone back and checked. But I agree with that change. Does anybody object to that, making that change?
No, good.
I have a question. Well, we're changing these nightly rates, and we are supposed to get 2 weeks. So does that calculate for the full 14 days on the nightly rental?
I guess I don't understand your question.
Okay, 2 weeks. That means
right.
14 days.
Right.
So if it's a minimum of 3 days and somebody just comes in for 3 days, do they still have 9 days left?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
The minimum stay is just to avoid having the caretakers having to turn cabins over every other day. And so
exactly.
We can say, look, you have to be there, or you have to pay the nightly rate. Obviously, we can't control whether people stay there, but we don't want, this is not a daily rental thing, and so a 3 day minimum is what's going to be required. As far as members, just to avoid having Phil and Rachel up there, you know, trying to manage turnover on every other day.
And I understand that. Yeah, I understand that, Barry. But it used to be that if you came and used the weekend and you only used 2 days or 3 days, you used your week, and that's why I'm asking that. I used my time frame.
I think if they come and use 3 days, then they still have their 11 days left. Is anybody else having them? It's not specifically addressed in here, but every association I belong to, you know, you use what you use, and you still have the remainder to use. So, Kathy, you want to have that inserted?
Should, just so it's explained, because it hasn't been that way in the past. If you used a weekend, that was one of your weeks, and whether it was 3 days, 2 days, or full 7 days. And so that's why I asked that question, is because it is different than what it's been in the past.
Does anybody have an objection to spelling that out in the rules?
I don't have an objection, but a possible scenario is that somebody comes and they booked it for the whole week, not just, you know, they booked it for 7 days. They get there, after 5 days, they're tired or whatever, and they decide to go home. And then nobody else can rent that time, that 2 days,
yes,
or 3 days or 4 days. So once they made the reservation and they come,
yeah, there's no early checkout and get credit back. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Mariah, is that something? Go ahead.
I was just saying that. So I think we ought to put that caveat in there to just clarify that a little bit.
Mariah, can you add in just a sentence somewhere to figure out where it best fits when we're talking about minimum stays? Just saying that whatever's booked, the balance is still available, but there's no early, you can't leave early and have the rest of the days credited back to you.
I can add that in there. One question I have along those lines to clarify for me. So as I've been booking, if someone comes in for 3 nights, that to me equals a half week, not a full week. That would to me equal a half week. And so I've been working under the half week, full week scenario, and there are times that people will come in for 5 days and they still do have 2 remaining days. Are we talking about eliminating the half week and full week and just going with you have 14 days and how, you know, with a minimum of 3, you could use those 14 days at any time?
No, I think we spelled out in there in the drafts we've exchanged back and forth. They're either going to reserve it for 3, or they're going to reserve it for 4, or they're going to reserve it for 7. And whatever's left over that, between that and the 14, is fine. But if they come and they book it for, you know, 5 days, then that's fine. They'll have the 9 days left. Does that make sense?
Yes. So if they have 9 days, then I would be essentially taking one of their member weeks. And then I guess the tricky part for me is that we have the member rental rate as well. So when members come to the end of their time, so if they use all their time and they have 9 days left and they want to use those final 9 days, does that give them a week of time, or do I give them the 7 days as their week and charge them the rental rate for the additional 2 nights?
I personally think that I'm going to look to you. You're managing things. You tell me what's the easiest way to manage that. Just so, as long as we treat everybody equally, then I think we have to look to you to decide how's the easiest way to manage that so that we're not duplicating work or creating extra work for ourselves.
Can I add one thing?
Go ahead.
Not to complicate it, but this does bring up a lot of questions by breaking it up. And Kathy's right, in the past, you use your week, whether you stayed there 2 days or 4 days or 7 days. But we only have so many weekends, and that's often the preferred time, even if they're going to only come for 3 days, say. And so you might look at it like, the remaining 3 days that they carry over, or 4 days, or maybe if they want to, the minimum time maybe ought to be 4 days if it's a weekend. You see what I'm getting at? That they have to pay for, because otherwise all our weekends are used up and nobody wants to come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or something. So you have to look at the availability, the desire for those weeks. I frankly think it's probably almost better to leave it the way it has been in the past for many years, and that's if you come for 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days, you come and it's one of your weeks. Otherwise, you get into all of these really little slice the pie differently kind of problems to think about.
Barry?
I was good. Yeah, go ahead. I got to go.
Yeah.
If you came, let's say you were going to come for the whole week. And so when they come, do they pay for the whole week, Mariah, up front? So that's all paid for?
Sorry, Brad. That's okay. Excuse me.
So they come, they rent the cabin and use their whole week. and they pay the per day fee for the whole week right up front, right?
Yes, under the new system, that would be correct. And
okay.
And the way I've been running it since I've come into this position has been that if they come for the week, they would pay the $50 reservation fee, and then they would only pay the pay-per-play fee for however many days they were here. So if they left early, they, of course, only paid for the days they were here. However, under the new system, they would be paying for those days whether they stayed or whether they didn't stay. It would all be paid up front.
So if they came, they had a family emergency and had to leave, then they would have to pay for that cabin for the whole week.
That's another item to discuss that hasn't been necessarily clarified. But at this point, I would say that, I think it's case by case. I think we need to work with them as much as we can. But I don't know. Those are tricky situations.
But they precluded anybody else from running that time. They precluded anybody else from using that time because nobody's going to, like, with one day notice, be at the ranch.
Yes, Joe, that's the problem.
Go ahead, Joe, you have the floor.
Yeah, this is the problem I got with. If I don't like the idea of cheating people out of days they haven't used, but if they've stayed 4 days and they leave, then next time they come, they'll have extra days and somebody else can't use the cabin. It kind of puts a kibosh on the second person trying to come in. I'm thinking like it should be a 4 day minimum. And if you check out on, if you request 7 days, if you check out on the fourth, then you've consumed all seven. Otherwise it becomes a nightmare for somebody else trying to come in.
I would propose that they would lose their week time, their membership week time. They would have spent that, but we don't charge them for days that they're not in the cabin.
We can do that, yes, but I don't think we should stay 3 days and then hurt the next person coming in a month or 2 months down the road if they're coming back.
Is there a chance that we can do, like, the red week, blue week? I mean, I don't want to make it complicated, but people that might want to come and spend a little bit more time on the weekends, and they are the weekdays, and free up the weekends, and they only come for 3 days, I hate to charge them for the full week or 4 days and charge them for the full week. If they're taking, so this would open people to maybe use weekdays instead of just weekends.
But they would specify what they're coming for beforehand.
But I know that when they're doing it, they try to plan the trip during the week.
Well, yeah.
Instead of taking all the weekends, that's what I'm trying to do, is promote some of the week time that's not being used, so people aren't going to be taking their cabin times away because they couldn't come stay for, somebody else is coming on the weekend and they couldn't come stay. So they, I don't know. It's going to make it real complicated, I'm sure, for Mariah. There's got to be a better way. But I do feel like we need to address it in our rules and regs because it's not addressed here, and it has changed it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the value of the past. It kind of hurts you in a way, but it makes it less complicated if we use our week for a week, whether we use 4 days or seven. Otherwise, we get into all these different things, and we could hash it out. The way it gets complicated, and I don't think members, they don't want a big complicated thing. But I see what you're saying. I think there's some value to what you're saying. I'm not totally against that at all. So.
Well, the change that we're proposing, or what we're trying to accomplish, keep in mind, was to be able to charge people up front so they know exactly what they're paying and they pay for what they're going to use. That I know that there's a million different twists on that as to, well, what if they leave early and those kind of things. The whole purpose of what we've done is wasn't intended, at least, to address all of these concerns right now. It was just to simplify the process for this upcoming season so that we could charge people up front. They knew exactly what they were paying for before they before they came and as part of making their reservation. And some of these things we may have to iron out a little bit more fully over time. Like I said, the draft that we made was to address one concern, and obviously it affects other things. So I guess the question is, right now we have it drafted so that you have a 3-day minimum. We can expand that to a 7-day minimum, but then the question comes in as to whether they have to pay the nightly rate for all 7 days if they're not going to stay, because that's going to be charging people for days that they never would have booked, or we know in advance that they're not going to use. I would prefer, for simplicity's sake right now, to have it with the 3-day minimum and see how that works and see whether we're running into conflicts with the cabins. I don't think the cabins have been overbooked other than on Memorial Day, you know, on specific weekends, which this, you know, what we're talking about isn't going to necessarily address that anyway. But are there other questions or concerns other than the minimum stay that we have not addressed in our discussion?
I've got one. This is Joe. I've got one on 1.17.01. In the middle of that paragraph, it says there's going to be a $100 cleaning fee if the cabin is left unclean. And I don't have a problem with that, other than we're going to have to make exceptions on rainy days, because when it's raining and I leave my cabin, it's a mess. There's nowhere I can go in and clean it, come out in the rain and go back in and get everything I need. So I think we'll have to waive the cleaning fee if it's a rainy day, because people have to go in and out and get furniture, food, clothes, and all kinds of stuff. So I just want to be reminded of that when it happens.
On that one, Joe, that's why we've left in there. If you read the next part, leaves the ranch caretakers with some discretion to decide where that line lies. I agree with you. There's going to have to be some flexibility there, but we want to have an established rule that we know what it's going to be, and so that people are aware that we're going to enforce it in the future where we haven't in the past, with the exception of, you know, when the managers tell us, hey, you know, this is a little bit of mud that we had to sweep, you know, it's in reason or it's reasonable what's happened. So I think we've addressed that and have some flexibility built into it.
Yeah, I saw that in there, but I just wanted to make sure we weren't hard-nosed on that. You know, that's where all these people buy for this cabin usage, and I just don't think they should be overcharged for it.
I agree, but I also think, I don't know that we've ever charged a cleaning fee for anybody in the history of the ranch. And I remember cleaning up some pretty good messes in the ranch, in the cabins when I was up there working from time to time. So I just think we need to have the rule there and then allow for some flexibility. We're not about chasing members off or causing them heartache, but we do want them to be responsible. So hopefully we can work with that.
The other one I had was 1.04. The last two words in that sentence were specific individual. It was supposed to be changed to lot owner. Has it been?
No, the reason why that was one of Brad's suggested changes, but we may have a guest of a lot owner that's up there occupying the cabin, and we want to have the name of that person that's actually going to be there occupying the cabin. So I left that as specific individual rather than lot owner, because the lot owner may or may not be there. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, okay. I think the last one I got is 1.08. The last sentence in that paragraph, it says a late check-in fee will be assessed between 9 and 11 for $25 and 75 after 11 p.m. I'm here to tell you, I've been renting cabins up there since 1978. Leave the key in the mailbox. There's no need to charge unless someone gets crazy and wakes somebody up on purpose. I'd rather not do that if we didn't have to.
Well, that language is left over from the rules before. Like I said, we didn't make changes to everything. I don't know. I'd rather have it in there just so it's aware. But I agree, if there's a late check-in, then we hang the keys on the bulletin board or do something, make other arrangements so that we're not waking people up or causing problems. But
I guess maybe what I'd like to say, I don't want to change proof of wording. I think it should be in there, first of all, yes. But what I'm saying is I don't think any current manager or future manager should have the authority to do that without a board decision. Maybe I should put it that way.
Okay.
And that could just be between us. Doesn't have to be written in. It'd be better if it was written in there that way, because if the board changes, we don't know what we were talking about. But I don't think one person should make that decision.
Okay. Anybody objecting?
But let me say this. Isn't it pretty clear what the hours are? I mean, if you leave the key and they come at 10:30 or 11 or whatever, there's no fee. But if they come at 11, 11:30 and they wake up the caretakers, isn't that a documentable thing, easily documented? I mean, or I guess we could say, by report from the caretakers, such and such fee will be assessed if they check in at these odd hours or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, if they wake them up and they answer a question, I can't be charging them $75. If they say, hey, I don't know how to light the gas light, I don't know how to light the water heater, can you come up and do that for me? Then yes, we should charge them the $75. I just don't feel we should be that strict on just waking the first. I worked for International Arbiter for 20 years working on road service. People called me all the time. I didn't get money for answering telephone, but if I went out on a call, I got paid. If they have to go up and do physical work, get dressed, and come back, yes, we should charge. But just for saying to go ahead and go up there, see me in the morning, I don't think we should charge them.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Well, I think what I'd like to do, let me suggest this. I'd like to leave the language the same in the rule, but we just have an understanding with the caretakers that obviously Mariah is the only one that's going to send out bills, so we're going to be in the loop. If the caretakers feel like there's a charge that's warranted, that we just have a simple discussion and decide whether that works or not. Does that make sense?
I'm okay with that. I just don't want it to be slam bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think we have checks and balances there since at least the main office and the caretakers are both going to be involved, and so I think we can address that. So anything else that's not addressed here that we want to discuss or address?
I'd like to just have you clarify for me, because I'm a little confused how we can talk about every other paragraph in this whole association, but you're disallowing me to talk about the cabin use fees.
You can talk about it, Brad. It's just that we've discussed it before, and if it's just a matter of saying that you disagree with the rates we're going to charge, then we had that discussion, and I understand it. You're welcome to discuss it. It's just it's been discussed, and I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, based on the member feedback, then I think it's ready to it's time to vote on that rather than discuss it further.
And didn't we already vote on it? So to answer Brad's question, maybe we could re-vote again and see what the outcome is, and then Brad can still state his opinion or his thing. But I think the majority, I'll venture a guess, that it would pass to be the way it is, even with Brad not liking that or sustaining. So if you want to make a motion, well, Brad, you missed out on times when we all took our time to discuss it, and it was mailed out, and we had time to comment. And frankly, your failure to do that or participate in that is we shouldn't be penalized for that.
Well, then I'd like to make a motion that we discuss 101.02. And if nobody seconds it, at least I'm on the record for making a motion that we discuss this.
I'd like to enter a discussion on Brad's motion. to state that the discussion has been made on this very item numerous times, and that Brad has not been present when we voted, and that for that reason he was not involved in the conversation.
Brad, do you have something else to add that you want on the record as far as your feelings on the rates?
I really do.
Okay. Well, I don't have any problem in having you state on the record what your objections are. Let's get it out there so that it's in the minutes, and then we can move on and get this voted on.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I talked to John about the pet thing, and when I talked to John, he was concerned that they went with the higher one also. So I think he was regretting his vote when you guys went ahead and voted during the last board meeting. However, the entire rules and regs thing hadn't been passed, so I simply thought that we'd have an opportunity to discuss it, and now I appreciate at least giving me the opportunity to voice my opinion, even though maybe it's not going to make any difference. But I'm of the opinion that in the last 3 or 4 years since I've been on the board, I've watched this buy a backhoe, a dump truck, a laundry shed, put in a couple of different septic tanks in the cabins that we had. We totally revamped the headquarters cabin from top to bottom, where it's completely livable now. And cabin 7 has been remodeled, and all of this has been done without increasing the fees for our members to charge. Or the fees that we charge our members. And so I'm of the opinion that if we not continue to manage this properly without raising the fees and keeping them as low as possible for our members, we can continue to make upgrades in the cabins that we have. We could do it faster if you raise people's fees. I grant you that. However, I don't know that we have the energy to do it faster than we're doing it, do we, Captain?
If we can get more people involved, but I know that Rachel and myself and Scott are pretty worn out. So,
or if we have money,
we're gonna wait until fall before we start another one. That's for sure.
And if we raise more money, hire contractors. That's always a possibility too. I'm against charging the members more money to use the cabins if we can use our budget that we already have. We've already proven that we can do good things and big things for the ranch. And I think with keeping the fees at a lower rate, at least the lower rate that you put out to the members, I think a lot of members, and it's their own fault if they didn't get in, read their emails, and participate in the vote. But I think it was somewhat of a straw poll if we would have had 100. At least votes from memberships on which rates to assume, then I'd feel a lot more comfortable, you know, moving in that direction. But we really didn't have that many. And so I would say keep the rates at a minimal.
I understand what you're saying as far as I don't want to see any of this stuff raised either. But from the readings that we did get back, everybody was for increasing that anyway. From what I saw, was good about increasing the dues a little bit just to improve the cabins. And that's what I think. So I'm not sure where that's coming from, because I thought that's what the members wanted.
There were some that were adamantly opposed, but that's true. There was a lot of people that were in agreement to that. But as far as the total percentage of a membership vote, I don't know that we have a true understanding of the feeling of the membership to just go ahead and claim that that's what everybody wants. However, we did give them a chance, so I understand your position on that. But I just like it in the minutes that my argument is simply that we've done these big things that I've listed. I'd like that listed, and we've done it on the budget that we've had, and that we can, you know, we already are, in a way, raising rates for many things. More fees are coming into these rules and regulations than we've ever had before. And so things, more money is being generated for the people who are using the cabins already.
Is there a way that we can put in CCNRs? I know it's going to have to be readdressed anyway, but if that it doesn't pencil out or work out and people are adamant about not using the cabins because of the increase, that we readdress it.
Well, we can have the board readdress the rules and regulations anytime we want to.
Anytime, yes. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the
issue. Joe, you have the floor.
I'm in favor of raising the rates because now that Kathy's been doing what she's doing, I've been doing it for 20 years, putting concrete wallboard, doing this, doing that. There's a septic tank in cabin one, septic tank in the garden cabin. Now we know what kind of septic tanks were purchased. Chances are they probably bought 10 of them at the same time. We're going to be doing more and more septic tanks all the time, and we need to be still doing other things. We can't just be busting the budget right to the max each year, and it's getting harder and harder. These cabins are getting older and older. We're going to need more money because we're going to have to start hiring people to do this. I'm at the age where I can't keep doing that physical work. Neither can Brent keep it up and John Harris. Well, we've been doing a lot of stuff for a lot of years. We're going to have to start contracting this stuff out. It's going to cost us money.
Brad, is there anything else that you want on the record, or as far as that goes? I understand your position. I feel like that we've gotten way too behind on raising money to take care of and to improve the cabins, and I think it's going to get worse and more expensive. I'll be interested to see what our inspector has to say, but I feel like we've discussed this and looked at it, and I'm ready to vote myself.
Did we not already vote on this issue part? This one part of it.
We did, but we're voting tonight. I'm hoping to vote on the adoption of this final draft of the rules and regulations. So this is done and put behind us, including the rate again and the other changes to the rules, so that it's taken care of.
I'd like to call for the vote and end discussion.
Okay.
Barry, can I add one more thing you haven't discussed yet before you vote?
Okay.
It was important. That one last thing was the non-refundable portion of the nightly fee under the new program.
Okay. What do we need to discuss there?
Okay, so the question came up in regards to the cancellation policy or rescheduling policy. Maybe that's a better way to say it. There was discussion on how much should be withheld if a member canceled, what the time frame for cancellation and rescheduling was. Those questions came up, and I thought that was one of the things that needed still to be ironed out. The way it is, has been proposed, is that the rescheduling would be allowable to happen within the 30-day time frame. Canceling prior to would allow them to move that reservation within the calendar year and all fees that they have already paid with it forward to the new set of dates. Post the 30 days, there would be a fee that would be retained for holding those days without making and them not being available to other members. A similar situation with the cancellation fees. If a member was to cancel within 30 days, a portion of those fees would be retained by DSR. If they were to cancel prior to 30 days, they would be able to have a refund of their fees. That's what is being proposed right now.
And I think we've discussed that in the past, that if they cancel within 30 days, then it's unlikely that another member is going to be able to book that same time, so I don't have a problem with that.
Didn't you propose that they would be charged the refund their weekly or whatever their amount was, with the exception of the first day rental. That would be the cost for rescheduling.
Yeah, we discussed that it would be the $50 fee, which has been non-refundable so far, but in looking at it, for simplicity and for ease of understanding, I think it does make more sense to take the first day fee or the first 2 day fee, whatever the board felt was appropriate. This is something that happens fairly often, so I would like the board to really consider this. This isn't something that happens once in a while. We have cancellations fairly regularly. I'm not trying to take additional money from the members. However, there is the high concern that if weeks are held and cancellations can happen without, you know, a fee that would make them more likely to want to try their best to keep that or to be respectful of other members and make plans accordingly. We already have a lack for cabin time. I hate to add one more thing that may continue to be, that may add to that.
I know that I see a lot of empty cabins at the ranch all the time, so I don't know. I don't know that, I understand we want people to be able to schedule in the weeks that they need, and if they're booked, then they can't do that. And so I think there should be a penalty, but I think it should be minimal.
Right now, the way it's written in the drafts I've got is that if they cancel, then it'd be a $50 fee. Are you suggesting that we just use the nightly rental rate as the fee, which would be less? Is that what you're suggesting, Maria?
Yeah, I was suggesting that it's so much easier to say, okay, we have to retain your first night fee. I just think that makes sense to do that. However, that's going to be $25 or $30. What we've been charging members is $50 if it's non-refundable. So, you know, the board needs to decide whether they feel like the first two nights. We have a three-night minimum. I think that's part of the discussion that needs to happen.
Well, I would actually prefer to just leave it at 50 so that people take it seriously and want to cancel a reservation as early as possible if they're not going to be able to make it. Of course, we're going to have to deal a little bit with emergency situations, and that we're just going to have to use good judgment and decide on a case-by-case basis. But people that make reservations, the $35 fee to me to cancel a reservation doesn't mean anything. I'll make reservations all day long the weeks that I want, and then be out $35 if I don't happen to make it. So I think it's got to be, I mean, I would leave it at the 50 that we've got in this draft. That's my personal opinion.
I agree.
Do we need a motion?
I think not on that. That's I think that I'm looking for a motion to approve the draft of the rules and regulations with the modifications that we've discussed that Mariah has taken down. I don't have notes of them, but the suggested changes that we've discussed during this telephone conference.
I would so move or make that that.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
All in favor?
Well, before we vote on it, I've got a question. I'm in favor of voting on it. I don't have a problem with this. But we don't have the final copy after it's written. Should it be checked for misprints or a mistake slightly and have the option of changing it to what we've said rather than just saying yay now and then we're stuck with it?
We'll review it again at the next meeting. The reason why we're rushing to try to get it done now is Mariah's making reservations, and she doesn't have an adopted rule that she can tell people, okay, this is what the fees are, because we're still under the old rules that have the old fee structure. So I think Mariah can put together a draft. I'm hoping to vote to approve it tonight, and then we can make clerical changes in the next meeting as necessary if there's something that's off or not explained properly as far as the changes that she's got. We were hoping to get this in place by May 1st to avoid confusion of the members who are confused as to which system we're using. Does that make sense?
Okay, let's vote.
So I can modify my motion to accept them with the opportunity to perfect the wording but not the concepts.
Okay. Correct.
You still a second, Kathy?
Yeah.
Let's vote. Barry votes yes.
Kathy votes yes.
Phil votes yes.
Joe votes yes.
Brad appreciates the opportunity to express his opinions, but I'm going to respectfully vote no.
Okay. I think we're ready to move on to the next discussion item, which hopefully will be fairly short, but we'll turn some discussion time over to Kathy. I think that's the next thing on the agenda, right, Mariah, is discuss radios and cabins?
Yes.
Okay. I know that the time that I brought the deal up on the radios was because I'd had one or two members come to me and say, we've had a problem when we've had an emergency, and we went down to the cabins. Not saying that Rachel and Phil are not doing their jobs by any means, because they're always busy taking care of cabins or taking care of this or that, but they said we came twice from the upper cabins because we had an issue with the cabin, and we couldn't get a hold of anybody, and we made two trips. And they had made the suggestion, is there any way we can have communications on the radios when we're here at the ranch? And I said, I think that's a great idea. Now, that being said, one of the biggest things that was voted on was communication. So I don't understand why this has even been a problem. I know that there was a couple of items that were brought up. And I was a little bit upset because I got the board to approve it, and then when I was gone, it was brought up and voted against after I'd already bought the radios. So I was a little bit upset, and I wasn't there to even have a vote, or it was just something that was thrown out there in discussion with somebody that didn't want it, or whatever the case was. But the radios, I feel, are you know, you're going to have the same problem. Some of the I think there was a couple of things that were brought up that were problems. What about theft? Well, you know what? They sign out for it. If they don't bring it right back, they get charged for a radio. I mean, that's simple. If they horse around on the radios too much, and that's what my understanding is, that they were worried, Phil and Rachel were worried about them being contacted on a regular basis and bothered about, well, we need this, we need this. And that's going to be anything if we were to bring communications to the ranch in the first place. But if people have got their own radios, that's something that's going to happen anyway. So I just feel like some of the items that were brought up and reversed this decision was something I was a little bit upset about, especially when I'd already bought the radios. Now, that's not a big deal. We can always use radios and we'll sell them to somebody or whatever. But I still feel it's important to have radios there. And if they have to go, if we have to go through a checkout, process, but I feel like we need to have radios available for people in the cabin if they don't have their own.
I think we just ought to make them available to purchase if you want a radio, and then if it's that important for people to communicate, they can just purchase their own radio and communicate. That's what we've all done.
So what if you get a non-member that doesn't have a radio and they're renting a cabin, and they have an emergency at one of the cabins, and they don't know who to get a hold of. They don't know what to do.
Well, they just have to drive
down. I mean, it's a simple fix of a $30 radio that could cause some major damage. And that's the way I look at it. It's almost silly, but that
is. Is it just a $30? Is that
well, Phil and Rachel are charging $50. But Bob Becker, he programs them, and that's what he charged was $30.
To program them or to buy them?
He programs them and buys them, and he ships them out, and that's what it cost me to get these radios. $30 a piece, and I bought two. One for Cabin 7 and one for Cabin 8.
I still have
a problem. We're going to put labels on them, so you know exactly. Okay, Cabin 7 was brought back in. There's no question. These guys, okay, you know, so that shouldn't be an issue there at all. But
aren't the antennas fairly fragile? I mean, if they break, grab it by the antenna and all this other stuff. So it has to be brought
back. No, these are thicker. These aren't the real flimsy antennas that go up real high. These are a little bit smaller. And I don't feel like, if they're set up and, we can bring rules to them, understanding if they break it, they buy it, But I don't, that's just my feel.
Kathy, sorry, somebody was speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just Rachel and Phil. One thing we were just thinking about, I don't know how well you can hear us, but there's no power in any of these cabins, so you also have to think about they're going to, be constantly charging these radios. That is going to be a huge headache, too. They're going to bring it down and, charge it and get it. And anyway, there's no power to charge these radios. That's just enough to think about.
Can't they plug them into the
cabin 7 and cabin 8 do?
What about getting those types that you can charge in your own vehicle off your car battery?
Well, the cabin 7 and cabin 8 are going to have solar. So you can charge the radios in cabin 7, and when we get done with cabin 8. If that's a problem, we can always have them charged down, and when they get the keys, they want a radio, then they can take the radio and sign out for it. But I just feel like an emergency situation where it's been brought to attention already that, maybe we need to look at it. And that's the reason why it was even brought up.
Well, this is Barry. I just remember the discussion that we had a little bit, and I think Brent was part of that discussion. Was you're right. Part of it was clogging the airways with a lot of chatter going on, and then maintenance and break. My understanding was that we were looking at providing or putting a radio in each cabin and leaving it there. If we had a system where they check it out or rent it or something. If they want to, when they check into the cabin and have to turn it in when they leave rather than having it just left in the cabins, then I could go either way on it. I understand the emergency side of things. I also understand that they might turn into a lot more work than what they're worth and an expense to the ranch as far as that goes. So any other input?
I know this is
Joe. I got a little input. I'm not in favor of giving a radio to every cabin, especially down below. Cabins down below, it's only a 2-minute drive down to the ranch house for an emergency where they can call for an ambulance or wherever they want. In reference to cabins 1, 2, 3, and 4, if a family gets 2 or 3 cabins and they start chattering back and forth, you're not going to be able to stop them. You're going to make a mess out of the airways. My suggestion, like Rachel says, you can't charge them, and the average person doesn't have any equipment to hook it to their car or to a battery charger or to a halo unit or anything else. My suggestion would be we could put a call box between cabins 1, 2, 3, and 4, put a small solar panel on it, put the radio in a call box that you can't remove, but you can reach in, turn it on, push a button, and call for help, because that's a 20-minute drive down to the ranch house. If they could call for help, say we need an ambulance, Rachel and Phil could call in. But one radio should do the job on a small solar panel in a call box up on the hill.
Well, it wasn't like they needed an ambulance. It was they had a problem with the propane. I don't even remember what it was. It was last year, and they said we came down to the cabin 2 different times, which was the upper cabin. And so that took some time, added their vacation time, and trying to find somebody to come and help. And so that was the reason behind that. An ambulance, emergency situation like that, we've got those emergency lines where I think that is workable. I'm talking, you're not going to call on these emergency lines because you've got a water line break or something like that when you need to try to get a hold of somebody at the ranch for a problem that's going on with the cabin or some kind of emergency that way. and that was the reason behind it. And that's why it was even brought up from the very get-go, and everybody at that time said it, they thought it was a good idea. But
I can't remember that, and I'd like to have a question.
It was a discussion in one of our meetings.
So was it a resolution voted on and everything?
You weren't there, Phil. I don't believe you were there.
I told Brad then I'm not going to complain.
I think it was when you were on your trip. I believe.
Gotcha. I believe another issue that was talked about when I think it was unanimously voted down at that time, but one of the other issues was that they foresaw members calling for toilet paper or a roll of paper towels or whatever else. And I mean, I've witnessed a lot of people coming and going in and out of the cabins, and I think that that's a real possibility. They can't even close the gates or keep the gates closed.
Okay, so what do they do if they run out of toilet paper? It shouldn't be a problem if they've been stopped before they get there. But I mean, I think we're bringing up issues that are tedious. I mean, if it's a problem, you know, so be it. Don't do it. But I think that we need to look at the members over somebody that doesn't want to be bothered. You know, and that's the thing that I'm a little frustrated, just because we've had members come and say, hey, we had a problem here. And it wasn't just one member, it was two that had rented cabins up there. And it was before the association meeting, the annual meeting. Because these were members, yeah.
I think members ought to spend by their own.
One thing that we've changed this year is we put an information board right out front, right by our front door, and it's a little whiteboard with a marker and markers in the mailbox, also a bill in our mailbox. So it says, you know, for example, today it said, Tuesday, we are working up at the upper cabins, we will be there most of the day. We also have a radio on us, and there's a radio in the box. So if somebody comes down to headquarters now and sees that we're not here at the headquarters, they can pick up the radio out of the box if it's really emergency, and they can call us, and we will, you know, be able to communicate that. But that's one thing that we've changed this year that wasn't communicated to the board, but it's been done, but it has been done. Mariah and Brent and I and Phil discussed that in one of our meetings, and we made it happen. So this year, there's a whole different line of communication from the headquarters. We'll know exactly where we're at every day. Know exactly a time frame, and there will be a radio in the box that they could use if they come down to reach us for an emergency and we are not here.
That sounds great.
Well, that's great. At least there's a way for people to get a hold of, and so that's great. That's super.
Is there any other discussion that we need to have on radios, or somebody want to make a motion one way or the other? I think we ought to try out the new system that's there. Sounds like that will help, and see how that goes. But I'm happy to entertain the motion if anybody wants to make one and see if we can decide this again. Obviously we've addressed this issue twice before and come out on opposite ends. I'm of the opinion that it may be more hassle than it's worth, but I do know that we need to address it, and so I'm open to whatever anybody wants to propose.
Well, I propose putting a call box up on top. Anybody against that?
Nope,
I'm not.
I think we discussed that when Larry Sims was on the board, that he was going to put together, because I think having a call box for true emergencies up at the upper cabins is essential. We just need to figure out how to get it done.
I second the motion, Joe.
I think we can vote on that. All in favor of putting the call box up in the cabins, in the upper cabin cluster. Barry votes aye.
Brad, aye.
Phil votes aye. Phil, aye.
Joe votes aye.
Go ahead and vote aye. we'll have to switch the radios around because we bought that out of the cabin renovation funds. And so I've labeled them, and I'll just bring them back to you, Rachel, and you guys can take it, and we'll just reverse the funds on that.
Okay. Is there anything else? Sorry, go ahead, whoever was talking.
I think we did, so she understands.
Anything else? Anything else on our agenda tonight, Mariah?
No, we just had an other section, and that was it.
I've got one comment on other.
Go ahead, Joe.
I don't know who told me this information. It was either Phil Hunt or it was Brent. There's a motorhome down by the gravel pit, and I asked whose it was, and I don't know who told me this, but one of those two people did. They said it belonged to Lyndon, and he said he doesn't want it. Anybody can have it. They can scrap pieces off of it. They can do whatever they want with it. My opinion is no way on God's earth. If you want to have it vandalized, take it to your own lot and get it vandalized. Get it off of our gravel pit, because it'll be a junk pile if people start stealing tires and batteries and generators off of it.
Well, I think the common area is not a storage area or a parking area or a scrapyard. So the owner of it needs to get it off and taken care of, or else the board will need to have it towed and then bill it to the owner. There's no leaving stuff around. Yeah. Just to be helpful.
That's right. Go ahead. This Joe's off.
Barry, Joe, next to that motorhome is now a dump camp. It's on its top. So now it's a junkyard over there.
Did you hear him, Joe? You're cutting in and out, Phil. I couldn't hear you.
I couldn't either.
Okay. Now there is a camper next to the motorhome.
Okay, so we're accumulating more junk. We need to stop that right away because that's going to cause a lot of problems immediately. So, well, let's discuss that in our next meeting. If it's not resolved, then I'm more than happy to figure out who to have those towed, and the owners can pay for them, or we'll assess them and collect it for them. We're not in the business of storage and keeping people's junk. So
yeah, if Phil's going to be our opportunity, move them as soon as possible, because once they start getting tires off of them, you can't tow them very good.
Well, I'm happy to authorize Phil to make arrangements to get somebody in Kanab to come and haul them off. I'll contact the owner first, but then have them hauled off. They don't need to stay there. Maybe that's something we can discuss with Brent. Maybe he has an idea of who they belong to and how to get rid of them.
Yeah, where do you haul them off to?
Basically to a tow yard, a junkyard in town.
They're charged an impound fee too for being there, right?
Yep. They'll charge an impound fee, and we just tell them the registered owner abandoned it, and here you go, and they can bill them. So,
Bill, do we know who owns the camper?
I was told Lyndon owned one of them.
I'm sure if we contact Lyndon, Phil, Rachel, whoever can hear me. If you contact Lyndon and tell him that they've got to move it, I'm sure he'll move it. If we know who owns the camper, let's do the same thing with them.
I agree. Anything else before we wind up the meeting? Okay, sounds like we're done. I really appreciate you guys being willing to jump on the phone. Like I said, we were trying to get some of the stuff decided and moved forward, and I know it's a pain to handle this and try to talk over the top of each other, but I really appreciate being able to move some of this stuff forward. And so we will adjourn until our June meeting, which was set in our last meeting. I don't remember the date, but it's on the website.
10-4.
Barry?
Yeah.
Hey, our call dropped. We just got back on.
Okay, we want you to find out who the owners of those two vehicles are and ask them to be moved. And if they don't, then we'll have them moved at their expense.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll let everybody go. Thanks a lot. And unless there's something else, then good night, and hopefully you have a good evening.